Would anyone like to come up and pray this morning to kick us off with a head start running? Anyone? Any givers? Oh, I've got a volunteer.
Father, we just thank you so much that we can come and worship you today. And I thank you we can do this together as a family.
Amen. Dear Lord, I pray that the service goes well today, and I pray that everyone leaves with a kinder heart, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
I think we're going to praise God now with the music. Let's go.
Let everyone stand up.
Okay. So if anyone's wondering, well, this is on my forehead. Basically, yesterday I walked into a lamppost, so that's how I got that. I think it's fine. Johnny, could I please have the first picture up? Fantastic. Okay. So, I'm going to ask a few of you at random some questions, okay? They're really easy. So you should all know the answers. Seriously. You should all know the answers. So who am I going to pick on? I'm joking. I'm not actually going to ask any of you any questions today. I just wanted you to have that feeling of that moment of uncertainty, thinking, oh, this could go either way, this could go really well, and I might know the answer, or this could be really embarrassing. And so I just wanted you to feel that moment right then. And and so I'm just so grateful, you know, that trusting in God's plans for my life, there's none of that uncertainty, there's none of that, this could go really well, or this could go terribly. You know, trusting in His plans, it always works for our good. And so, yeah, today I want to talk about the best place you can put our trust. Yeah, no guesses for where the answer is. But so as you know, we've been looking at the minor prophets this summer. And the minor prophets knew what God was like. And so they weren't afraid to put their trust in Him. So I've picked out three examples of minor prophets trusting God. So my first example is Hosea. So this guy trusted God with his family. So God told Hosea, rather unusually, to marry a woman who was sleeping with loads of different guys. And that was kind of a big no-no at the time. But it was because God wanted to demonstrate His love for Israel. And Hosea married her quite, you know, amazingly. And he even kept on showing her love and kindness, even when she continued to sleep with other guys. And Hosea did not become insecure, or he didn't become angry, but he just kept on loving her because he knew that he wanted to place his trust in God's plan instead of on his own plan for the perfect family. Okay, my second minor prophet is Amos. So Amos trusted God with his friends. So he had to tell all his friends and everyone that he knew that their homes are going to be destroyed. Their homes were going to be destroyed if they didn't turn from their evil ways. And, you know, I think that wouldn't have made him very popular among his friends, but he did it anyway. And, you know, Amos was able to do this because he trusted that God's plan was the best chance of saving his friends' lives. And, you know, I don't know if I would have been able to do that. I think instead I would have, you know, trusted in my own plans to make my friends like me rather than doing what God wanted me to. And Daniel. Okay, so Daniel is my third minor prophet. There was some, you know, argument last week whether Daniel's a minor prophet or not. But we're going to say he is. He's a cool guy. And so Daniel trusted God with his job and with his life. As you heard last week, Drew and Amy were saying about how Daniel disobeyed the king's orders because he wants to follow God's plan for his life. And he wanted to please God instead of pleasing the king, who was actually his boss. And Daniel wasn't afraid to disobey the king because he trusted that God's plan for his life, you know, was way more special than anything the king could ever give him. These minor prophets, they trusted God with their family, you know, with their friends, with their jobs, and with their lives. And Proverbs 3, 5 to 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all that you do, and He will show you which path to take." Seek His will in all that you do, and He will show you which path to take. When I was preparing this talk, I had a picture of kind of clouds being pushed along by the winds, carried along by the winds. And I feel that this morning, God wants to encourage us just to let Him carry us along. Just like how clouds don't fight back against the winds, they're just carried. I think God wants to do the same with us today.
And I want to share with you a quick story of how God has helped me to develop my trust in his plans. So during my AS levels, so this last year, about halfway through, I started to get really anxious and really nervous and felt quite sick. And, you know, so I just told my dad about how I felt. And he said that I needed to just surrender this over to Jesus. I need to give him my grades, whatever he wants to give me. I need to give it all over to him. And so I just started doing that. So a few times every day, I just tell Jesus that I want to trust him. And I just thank him for good school, good friends, good family, for good revision techniques. I just thank him for everything that could come to my mind. And I also asked lots of other people to pray for me, Joe Canestri in particular. It's an awesome prayer. And after about a week, my anxiousness was actually all gone. And I was, you know, so grateful. I could sleep well at night without constantly kind of planning my next day of revision in my head. And I could just trust God. It was awesome. And the anxiousness actually stayed gone till about last week, which is the day before results day. And so at about 2 a.m. on Wednesday morning, I woke up and I was feeling quite sick with anxiety. And we did have a barbecue at Nick's West the night before, so I did eat a lot of food. So it may have been that, but I'm pretty sure it was the anxiety. But this time I was ready to fight when the anxiety came. And so I just began thanking God and, you know, putting my trust in his hands and just going through all the things I could thank him for. And I just choosing to trust his plan for my life rather than anything I could do. And as I was doing this, I could feel like a physical weight like lifting off my shoulders. And, you know, it felt so good, just lifting off my shoulders. And after about an hour of doing this, it was 3 a.m. now, I felt it was all gone and I felt like totally relieved. And there was a verse that I came across in Psalms saying, "Delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart." I was thinking that also kind of points towards this whole idea of trusting God's plans. You know, he will give us the desire of our hearts. You know, he works all things together for our good, which is awesome. And so today, I feel that God wants us to start offering the important things in our lives, the big things, over to him afresh. You know, do it again, just because he wants us to keep handing it back over to him. And I feel this is really important because the verse that I shared earlier where I said about don't put your trust in your own understanding or in our own plans, but instead seeking his will. We do this because, you know, he set promises that he will show us which path to take in our lives. And his paths are much better than my paths. Amen. So I'm trusting God that he will lead me down the right path. And I'm doing that because when my plans then don't work out, I won't have to be afraid because I know that I'm walking on his path and not my own. And yeah, so I don't have time to pray for you each individually, so I'd love if you could all just stand up and I could just pray a blessing over all of you. That'd be awesome. Father, we just invite you now. Father, I thank you so much for all my brothers, my sisters, Father, my aunties, uncles, my fathers and mothers here. I thank you that we're a family and we just want to together as a family give all the things on our heart over to you. We don't want to walk in fear or in worry. We want to trust you, Father, with all that comes our way. So right now we just hand over everything over to you. And we ask that as we do a bit more worship, as we do the ministry time later, that you would just bring things to our mind to hand over to you. We thank you that you promise to show us which path to take. You said you will show us which path to take if we seek your will in all we do. I ask that now every decision we have to make from this moment forward, we'd always, you know, come to mind thinking, oh, actually, we need to ask you into it. And we ask that every time we ask you into it, everything would change radically and everything will become so clear. There'll be no more kind of like murkiness in our decisions we have to make, but everything will come so clear. Amen. Thank you very much. I think we're going to sing one more song and then David's going to share something with you. So yeah, to keep standing. Thank you very much. Also, sorry, James Corley's supposed to be his fellow.
There are tax forms at the back, no obligation to give. Let's sing.
Hello, everyone. So today, at the end of the service, after church, we're going to head to the heath for a picnic. So everyone come along and enjoy some food. Next Sunday, we're also going to have a meal here after the meeting. So bring a rice dish, a main course, a dessert. Make sure that happens and bring that. So now we're going to hear a message from David. So give him a round of applause.
Thanks, James. Hey, Johnny, can I have the slide of that metal car? Can anyone guess what that is? Any takers? A tank, maybe. Anyone else? It's not a bomb disposal unit, but good try. Anyone else? Okay, so this is called the TIV, and there was a program a while back called the Storm Chasers, and basically these wild people went across America trying to find tornadoes, and then this was their survival. They would go into the tornado, and then they would deploy these anchors on the ground. And these anchors would clip into the ground, so when the tornado comes, it doesn't suck them up. And so they had to keep improving it because some windows went through and all sorts of things like that. It's quite entertaining to watch, but yeah. So this vehicle, for me, it's an armored car, and for me it represents like us seeking God's way, like going for tornadoes. I would say that's like the enemy's plan, and how we follow God into these unknown wherever we go. And there's like tornadoes, like the enemy is like a tornado, so it brings a destructive path. And for us, I'm sure we don't aim for the tornadoes, we just sort of go along on our path and these tornadoes come. But I feel like it's important how we anchor ourselves in God. Like the earth, if we represent that as God, then we clip into God. And Ephesians 6, it talks about putting the armor of God on. So that's a pretty armored car. So if you can put that much armor on, you're doing well. So it talks about we need to put on God's armor to fight against the enemy's plan. So today I'd like to focus on 4 points. And it's to grow and strengthen in our relationship with God. And so I'm going to briefly cover 4 points. The first one today is love. This is the first way we can strengthen our relationship with God, to show him that we love him. In Daniel, Matt was saying he was a kind of a minor prophet. Well, I'm going to focus on Daniel today. So in Daniel 6, verse 10, this is just before Daniel goes to the lion's den. And it says, even when hearing that this law had been passed, that if he prays to God, that he will go to the lion, or something bad will happen, he still went down as usual and prayed and did the usual routine, praying 3 times a day. So in this verse, we see that Daniel's love for God comes before his worries of disobeying the king. I think that's such an inspiration to me, like king second, God's going to go first. So despite like the challenges at work, at school, from our colleagues, students, teachers, Daniel shows us that we can choose to turn to God. For Daniel, his life and reputation were at stake, to turn to God. So what might be at stake for us if we put God first in our everyday situations? I believe as we turn to God, he wants us to develop our hearts to love him, to turn away from our worries and onto him. As some of you may remember, I took a gap year a while back, about a year or two ago, and I did some missionary work in Thailand with a group of volunteers. I remember we were making a difficult decision when we were in Thailand, we had to leave the country because our visas were expiring, but we had plans to return. And originally we were going to go to Indonesia, but all those plans fell through. So we had a week to decide where we would go, and we just had to book the bus fare for it. So at this point, we were all under a lot of pressure. And so the leaders of our group decided, let's go to Laos, which is near Vietnam. And so the problem with Laos is it's a communist country, and they're not open to Christians who want to share their faith. It's exactly what we wanted to do. So we were a bit stuck there. And there was a great risk as well. We were told that if we were caught evangelizing and sharing our faith, we could be locked in prison, unlikely to come out because the Laos prisons had such a ferocious reputation, and we could also be blacklisted from the country. So for deciding for a week, I was just completely nervous about doing this, but it seemed like there was no other way. So we decided
and we booked our bus trip, and it was a long bus journey, 21 hours on the bus, not fun. But anyway, at this point, we went for it. And for me to make that decision, God had got me this far. Like I was in Thailand. I'd never thought I'd be in Thailand. He got me into Thailand, and obviously there was no other path. So, slightly full of less fear when I was praying, I gave my situation to God and said I would go. So, thankfully, throughout that time, I didn't get in trouble with the police. That was one of my tick lists. It was quite an exciting adventure, to be honest. But I put my love for God before my worries and went for it. And I think that's an important thing we can do today. Okay, let's move on to the second point. It's about trust. The second way to strengthen our relationship with God is to put our trust in Him. In Daniel 5, verse 26, this is when there's the writing on the wall. I think you guys are aware of that story where one of the kings, he's drinking out of the God's temple's cups, like the golden cups, and disrespecting God. And so God writes on the wall, and he's very scared. And so Daniel is brought in to interpret, and one of the words on the wall says, "Mini, God has numbered the days of your reign and brought it to an end." Daniel had to put his trust in God with what he felt was correct. Interpretation of the dream, despite the fact that the dream basically told the king that he was going to die soon. I would have never imagined saying that that would be an easy job to say. For me, trust in someone brings security in my life and about what they do. At this point, Daniel had to trust, and his trust was anchored in God. Like that metal, Johnny, can you go back to that metal car, the TIV? So Daniel had to have his hope anchored in God. Like that is anchored to the ground. The people inside there have to trust that those stabilizers are going to hold them, or they're not going to live very long. And so for us, we have to anchor ourselves in God. So when the storms get bigger and bigger, we need our hope and our trust more anchored in God. So no matter what they decided to do with Daniel, Daniel knew that God's way was best. And despite the consequences, he still went and told the king. So many years ago, I think I was 16, me and my friend Andrew were mugged on the heath, and I made the decision to listen to God and receive what he wanted to say exactly at that time while we were being mugged. And I felt him say, "Stand your ground rather than run," which I was so tempted to do right that. I think Andrew would have got off way faster than I would. Anyway, but I didn't run. I stood my ground because I trusted in that was the only voice I heard. So I stood my ground. But because we held our ground, I believe our relationship with each other grew, and our trust for each other and our reliance on God helped us through the difficult situation. So that is what, for me, is what trust is in God. It's where you completely rely on God and not on your own ability. The third point I want to pick up is called respect. So it's like honor. The third way to strengthen our relationship with God is respect God's decisions. From Daniel's experience in the lion's den, in Daniel verse 6, Daniel respects God's purpose in the situation. Even if he lived or he died, he trusted in God's wisdom and respected God's choices in his life. I encourage you to respect God's judgment, even if it seems very hard. Just as Daniel did. It doesn't say that Daniel complained or tried to create a scheme to get out because he really respected God's judgment. I know how hard it can be to let go of a situation, but God judges best even when we can't see the outcomes. So after this going back to when me and Andrew got mugged, after we got mugged, I bumped into the man who mugged me, and he didn't recognize me, but I definitely did. I don't know. He was hanging around the same area. He got arrested, and over a period of time, he was sentenced to court. And I prayed, God, what do you want in this situation? Like you helped. I saw him, and all this has happened, and now he's going to court. What would you want? And he had his way in me, and I'm really happy he did. I heard him say to me, I was really shocked at this, but he said, don't go to court, because I want to judge him in a different way and use this in my judgment, that earthly judgment should be used in our systems. But in this case, God didn't want to see use it in that way. And for me, I found this so hard, because I was like, I found him. He could possibly go to jail. And the police were saying, like, you should go. And I really felt God say, no, you shouldn't. And so I found it very hard, but I let go of the situation and gave it into God's hands. So we got the fourth point. Okay, last point. This is understanding. So the fourth way we can strengthen our relationship and grow in our understanding of God. In the Bible, in the lion's den, again, Daniel understood that God was in control so that he could bring him through. Daniel understood that God saw far ahead of him and understood that God's plans were far beyond his own. Daniel understood that God was in control even when he could not see any like the future. And so I believe we must seek God's understanding in our situations rather than our own, which is so easy to do. I'm completely aware of that. As we do, I believe we can have a deeper insight into God's desires through our lives. For me, when I was deciding to go abroad about 2 years ago with a Christian organization called Youth for the Mission in South Africa, this was a big leap for me, for my faith at the time. I didn't know what was ahead of me, but I understood that God had the best intentions for me. So without knowing much of what would happen in the next 6 months or what the place even looked like, I think on the day I looked, oh, that's a nice place, and then flew out. I just knew that God's intentions were much bigger. I understood that his ways were much greater than mine. All I knew was I was going to have 3 months in South Africa and 3 months somewhere else. And that's all I knew. So I just packed what I could and flew out to South Africa. And I just went for it. And through that, God has strengthened me as a person and as a follower of Jesus. So now I'm going to finish. But in a short time, the people who went to Soul Survivor are going to pray for anyone who wants prayer. Thank you.
Thanks, Max. Awesome. Okay. Oh, apparently we have a video. Fantastic. I'm still a survivor. You jump on the lights. Oh, it's out of lights. You can hit play, Johnny. It'd be awesome. That God did. So is it cool if all the young guys who came up to Soul Survivor could just come up? Bradley! If you come. Brack will be awesome. Who else is here? Is Sally here? Fantastic, thank you very much. And Mum, do you want to come up? That'd be awesome. With Sarah, do you want to come? Yes! Cool. Okay, so we're going to ask them a few questions each. Okay, so James, do you have any funny memories from Soul Survivor?
We did this thing called the Colour Chaos where we all went, you saw it in the video, we all went into this big field and we just sort of threw paint at each other, this powdered paint. That was a laugh. That was really good.
Fantastic. I think I saw you on someone's shoulders at one point as well. And also now a bit more serious, what lasting change do you think God has done in you from Soul Survivor Camp?
It just sort of taught me to rely a lot more on prayer and just sort of make it a more constant thing. So every day prayer about every single thing that I can.
Awesome. And Mum, could I ask you a question? Okay, could you share with us a memorable moment from Soul Survivor?
Okay, well, I put some pictures up. So on the last night, you can see it's quite a mad week, and on the last night we have a fancy dress. So the worship is done in fancy dress, and the theme was Noah's Ark. So there is Philippa with some beautiful giraffes on her head, and Sarah was a spider, and we all take this quite seriously. And the children came as various... with various masks and costumes. And then as we were waiting, that's Paul with a zebra head on, and as we were waiting for the worship to start, I noticed this conga going round that you can see, Emily and Emil, dancing in the conga. And there was this blue figure heading the conga up, who I think had come as the flood himself. And it was you, wasn't it, Matthew?
That was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun. And could you also share with us what you felt God speak to you at Soul Survivor?
Yeah, so in one of the meetings that we were in, they were sharing about speaking in tongues and praying for the children, praying for us all to learn to speak in tongues. And it really struck a chord with me because everyone that came back from Carity Wood said the same thing, said that they've been taught about praying in tongues and many of them had learnt to pray in tongues for the first time. And it just made me think, oh, maybe God is speaking to us afresh about reminding us to pray in tongues. And so they said in this meeting, it's just reminding me again, the praying in tongues, when we pray in tongues, it builds our spirits up on the inside. And so although it may sound maybe like gobbledygook almost, that as the guy said, well, at least it's gobbledygook for Jesus. At the very least, it's going to be gobbledygook for Jesus. And at the best, it's a prayer language that God gives us that revives our spirits on the inside. And then we had Justin Welby, the Archbishop of Canterbury, came to speak as well. And he said he prays 15 minutes in tongues every day as part of his prayer pattern. And they reminded us that Jackie Pullinger, when she went out to Hong Kong to start this, which she ended up starting this great mission to the drug addicts of Hong Kong, when she first went out, she saw very little success and nobody wanted to know or speak to her about the Lord and no one was changing. And then people prayed for her to be filled with the Holy Spirit and she started praying in tongues every day and she used to do it on the clock for 15 minutes. So it wasn't really like she was massively inspired, but she felt that this was a good thing to do. And after she'd done that for a couple of months, people started coming to the Lord and drug addicts were able to come off drugs, like really seriously hard drugs, because if they prayed in tongues while they were coming off, they didn't have side effects. And that mission goes on to this day, like 25 years later. So I felt really challenged to start praying in tongues every day. And so I'm trying to, you know, so I feel like when I'm cycling to work, that's the time I'm going to pray in tongues. So I haven't always remembered. So a few people have said, oh, how's it going? And I'm like, oh, I'd forgotten. So, but as I pray in tongues as I'm cycling, or I sing in tongues because I find that's a bit easier, I feel like I start to feel happy on the inside. So I can't say I've got a big testimony of stuff happening elsewhere, but I've only just done it for 2 weeks. So I'm really excited as to what God wants to do. And yeah, I'd encourage anyone here, you know, and particularly children that have learned to pray in tongues at Carity Wood, the reason is to give you joy on the inside every day, for the Holy Spirit to build you up. And then also, God can start to move in your lives more.
Oh, isn't that so awesome? Yeah, I just clued on Peter on here today, but I remember they were saying how much they were affected by that speaking in tongues and how kind of for the first time they really started to be able to do it and just offering up worship to God and just how awesome that is. Braca, could I ask you a question now? Could I ask you what you enjoyed most about Soul Survivor, kind of outside the meetings?
I enjoyed the activities that were around, like the skateboarding or the playing basketball for a tournament, even though we came last. So. Yeah.
That's awesome. And could you tell us what happened to you in the meetings? Did you experience anything at one point?
Yeah, and I think it was at the second meeting I felt like God put peace in my heart and I really felt him in the room. So, yeah.
Yeah, it was really cool. I remember praying for you. I remember before that, you kind of start lying down. It was just really awesome what God is doing. And Bradley, fantastic. Could I ask you your one funny memory from Soul Survivor you could share with us?
Well, we went into the silent disco and then you'd have earphones on and then people would be singing along and there was two different channels on it and DJs would be competing with each other. And then if you were like halfway through, you take off your earphones and you just see everyone jumping around in silence, just singing two different songs.
And could you share with us one lasting change that you think God's done in you from Soul Survivor, or one thing you experienced?
Well, I experienced that God is really close to you and he's closer than you think, because I saw everyone in the meeting crying, laughing, and everyone was touched.
Awesome. I also remember you saying about how you kind of got a new confidence to speak in like tongues. You didn't see it like as scary, kind of as big a thing. It's kind of less scary now. That's cool. Awesome. Sally, could you share with us what you enjoyed most?
I kind of enjoyed how much fun we had, like the activities and the like outside the meeting.
Awesome. What was the most fun thing? Most fun activity of all?
Color chaos.
Color chaos. Why was that?
Because it was just really funny how everyone was throwing paint up in the air and then different colours would be coming onto you. And awesome. Yeah.
I just remember at one point people were crowd surfing. So that's where they ride on top of the crowd and you pass them along. And Peter, he wanted to go. And so we lifted Peter up and we pushed him along and everyone was carrying along. But then occasionally, like at these parties, circles open up. And someone goes in the middle and starts dancing. And Peter was carried into a circle and then fell down. So that's pretty funny. Could you also share with us kind of one difference that Soul Survivor made to your relationship with God?
I just feel that he loves me, like, because I didn't really think that he loved me. So now I feel like he loves me and everyone, like, in a different way. Like, yeah.
That's so special. That's awesome. Okay, final thing. Sarah, could you tell us what you enjoyed most about Soul Survivor?
Well, I'll tell you a little funny thing that happened before we actually went. So we had the adults had a meeting together to decide plans for Soul Survivor. And this is, before, up until now, it's just been the mums that have gone. But we had Paul with us this time. So Paul was at this meeting and we spent the first half an hour talking about costumes and bunting for the tents and the pretty solar fairy lights that I wanted to have. And after about half an hour, Paul said, can we actually talk about what we're going to be doing, what food we're going to buy, etc., etc., etc.? And we all looked at him to say, but this is the important stuff. Yeah. we had a great time. It was really good fun. I'm one of those people that really like camping. I know that's odd, but I really, really like camping. And the ladies, the mums had the most fantastic new tent this year, and it didn't leak. That was really, really good.
Fantastic. And could you also share with us one difference that Soul Survivor made to your relationship with God?
Well, like everybody said, the meetings were amazing. I love going into those meetings with all the young people and our young people, and seeing everyone praising God and really dancing. And you can, you know, even though you're kind of middle-aged, you can join in. And that's really fantastic. Normally, as the mums, I kind of feel like when something happens in a meeting, we're there to pray for our young people. But there was this one meeting about worry, actually, because you've been talking about worry and anxiety this morning. And none of our young people got up to be prayed for immediately. And I thought, oh gosh, this is a big thing for me, worry. That's something I've struggled with. So I thought, oh well, I might as well go for it. So I stood up and people came to pray for me, including my own son, who might be some of the cause of some of my worries, which made me laugh. And Barbara had a picture for me about being in the sea and like the waves of the sea lifting you off the ground. And I kind of forgot about that for a while, but it meant a lot to me because I've met God in the sea a few times. There's been a few experiences when I've been in the sea, when I've really felt God's presence. And we've just come back from our holiday, and there was one day we went to the sea. And I was in the sea on my own, and I was starting to kind of just sing praises to God quietly, you know, in the sea. And he reminded me of this picture because there's something I was worried about. And I was, you know, up to my neck in the water and being lifted off the sand by the waves. Yeah, so that really spoke to me.
That's so cool. Yeah. Well, I think we all receive so much at Soul Survivor. We'd really love to just pray for you guys about relationship with God, about trusting God, about worries. So David, didn't you come and play some music? And Dad, didn't you come up since you came as well to Soul Survivor? And if you'd like to be prayed for by any of us for worries and just for trusting God and just improving your relationship with God, just anything, you know, you don't even have to tell us, but we'll come and we love you to just come to the front and we'll just pray for you. And if you don't feel, you know, that's what you want to do, then maybe just take this opportunity to just worship God as David sings and just to offer important things and difficult situations in your life over to God. So that'd be awesome. Yeah, do you think everyone could take a stand up and we'll sing, and then if you want to come to the front, I know it's kind of scary, we're all just staring at you, but like, it'd be awesome. Yeah, cool. Okay, we'll get into these, and then we'd love to pray for you. Just come, make your way to the front.